The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage, and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord. In order for us to make sense out of this feast, where we talk about Jesus' ascending to heaven, we have to first have some understanding of what heaven is. And perhaps we start with what our common culture thinks heaven is, and that would be somehow a place that's far away from earth, having nothing to do with what we see around us. Right? This is actually a form of deism. It's very popular now, even though most people wouldn't call themselves deists. The idea that God really has nothing to do with the world, but that he intervenes in its goings-on every now and again, right, in things that we call miracles. But we know certainly that, and not just from our own experience, but from the gospel, from Jesus and what he taught us, is that God has much more to do with earth than all that. In fact, in the beginning, heaven and earth were always intended to be interlocking or overlapping realities, almost dimensions of one and the same place. We read about God's creation of the heavens and the earth in 7 days, right? He creates in 6 days and sees that all the things that he has created are good, and on the seventh day he rests. Now, some people might think that, well, that means he kind of sat back and put his feet up and forgot about it for a while, right, until the next day rolled around. But in fact, what God does in his Sabbath rest is that he enters the creation that he has made. He covenants himself with the creation he has made. And so Sabbath rest is always a celebration of the goodness of God. It's a celebration that, in fact, is an awareness of God's presence lived among us. But we don't stop with the Sabbath, of course. But to get to that, we have to say that even though heaven was always meant to be the ruling place of God, right? Heavens, where God lives, were always meant to rule and properly order the earth so that earth could live and human beings could live in tranquility, right? In peace, the order of civilization, that they could have joy and peace to the full, real flourishing of peoples. But we decided a long time ago, right? And not just this morning, like me, but a long time ago, our first parents decided, you know, we'd prefer to be self-ruled. And we see the results of that today, and very clearly. You know, what does it mean that we've thrown off the rule of God, we've thrown off the life of heaven, and we prefer to do things our way? In fact, we seem to have made a whole commercialization of that phrase, right? Like a Burger King, have it your way. And we're supposed to go, yeah, you know what? I want to have it my way, right? Now, if you want a perfect burger, I don't know if you go to Burger King. There is such a thing. I'm not sure quite where to find it, but I'm still looking. And it will be heaven sent, right? I mean, it's a godly thing. I've come pretty close, but the idea is that we're better when we're ruled by heaven, but there's that rebellion inside of us that doesn't really allow for the giving over of ourselves, especially to God and his rule and his way. Well, we, as a result of our rebellion against God, incurred punishment. Right? We incurred punishment as a result of our rebellion against God. Jesus took it on himself. Jesus subdued our rebellion with his obedience, offering himself whole and entire to God on the cross in that perfect sacrifice that brought wounded humanity back into communion with God, our Father, so that we could here and now experience again the life of heaven come to earth. In fact, Jesus is the first part of new creation. He's the first part of, say, matter that has been created anew by the love of God. And we don't really know quite what that means. And we can look at some things like the Shroud of Turin. We don't know how that image was made. And people say, well, it was made in by the resurrection, the power of the resurrection of Jesus. But we don't quite know what that means. The matter has somehow been transformed in Jesus, and it gives us some sign not only of what to come, but of the sheer power and force of God's love that reaches us now. Okay, and just to fit like five more homilies in tonight, just like to present like, because that's like, I mean, that's the background, yeah? So this is like the theology that goes through my head every day. No, that we have to do in order to understand what the ascension is. And I think there are really three main points to Jesus's rising, okay? And it's, firstly is that Jesus can be, because he is now in heaven, he's no longer confined by space-time limitations. Okay, that's a bit of physics for you too, right? We see that Jesus, even in his resurrection appearances, is appearing behind locked doors. He's not quite recognized. He's here 1 second, he's gone the next, right? So what we're seeing there in the resurrection of Jesus is someone who is equally at home on earth as he is in heaven. Because remember, they're interlocking and overlapping spheres or dimensions of one reality. So Jesus has the ability to do that, but when he appears on earth, he's not then also appearing somewhere else at the same time. He's somehow mysteriously confined to the parameters that he set in creation. So Jesus ascending to heaven can be present to each of us in a deeply intimate and personal way, all at the same time. And I would say most especially then in prayer, where two or more are gathered, and in the sacraments, right, where that thin veil between heaven and earth, right, is thinnest yet, and that we can encounter God in close to an unveiled way. Okay, that's the first, is that Jesus can be present to his people in much more intimate fashion than if he were still presently on earth. The second is that, like I said, the interlocking, overlapping realities of heaven and earth, heaven is meant to be earth's control room. And so Jesus has entered in order, right, 10 days from now, to send the Holy Spirit to animate his body, the church. Jesus enters the control room in order to manage the whole project. I mean, that's like CEO speak, right? It's kind of lame, but Jesus managing the whole project from the control room. Now, so that's the second part. We say also he's the king of heaven and earth, right? And he's exercising that authority now. Okay, and thirdly, Jesus goes to heaven, enters that realm in order to better bring heaven and earth back together. He doesn't go so that like we can enjoy a disembodied reality at some point in the future. He goes so that this new creation, this recreation of heaven and earth can take place, say, in his time, in his way, right? That's why he's there. So he's there, and the way that happens is he's there to send his Spirit into our hearts and into our church to animate his body so that we can be about the work of bringing about heaven on earth, and we can be affecting that reality, allowing God in us, right? Because we have to be changed first, in us and through us, to recreate the world, not according to the rule of sin and death now, but according to the rule of God's love and his life, which we were made for. Right? So we enter this sacred time, remembering also that not only heaven and earth are meant to be joined, but that our Lord Jesus is returning, and that we prepare for that day by living with him in the present, by ordering our lives to his rule, and by living out his love for this world that so desperately needs it.